our top stories today on KSDP News. Senator Murkowski on correcting bad behavior in Congress in the short term, and Representative Mary Peltola on the federal fishery lawsuit. Stay tuned. Salutations! I'm Holden Feldbauer, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. The date is Monday, November the 27th, 2023, and we've got some local news coming your way. Congress members behaving badly? Murkowski says singing can help. An outbreak of bad, nearly violent behavior erupted in Congress last week before lawmakers departed for Thanksgiving break. Alaska's senior U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski noticed. She suggests an unusual remedy that she says can provide at least short-term relief. Singing. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin explains.
Last Tuesday was a low point for congressional decorum.
I got elbowed in the back, and it kind of caught me off guard because it was a clean shot to the kidneys, and I turned back, and there was Kevin.
I did not run and hit the guy. I did not kidney punch him.
A Tennessee congressman says former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy jabbed him in a hallway. That same morning, Senator and former cage fighter Mark Wayne Mullen talked smack with a hearing witness. Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders had to step in before it came to blows.
No, no, sit down. Sit down. Okay. No, you're a United States Senator. Sit down.
Actively.
Oh, okay. Sit down, please.
Meanwhile, in a House hearing, the chairman called another member a liar and a smurf. Senator Murkowski says Congress has to do better.
I've been really disappointed with what I have seen. And it's not acceptable.
She says some of her equally dismayed Senate colleagues have been discussing how to reverse the trend.
To just remind people that relationships matter and how we treat one another matters.
What is she doing to set a better example? Murkowski hosted a bipartisan sing-along a few weeks ago. Yes, a sing-along, a senatorial sing-along. The piano player and lead singer from the jazz pop orchestra Pink Martini were in town, and Murkowski invited everyone to a Senate reception room to sing.
People are going to think that's kind of crazy and goofy.
Murkowski says she considers it a mental health break and an exercise in collegiality.
And 45 minutes is not going to cause the world to fall apart. In fact, it might help us reframe, refocus, and get a little energized about working together.
We don't have any recordings of that sing-along, but the next night, Murkowski and Senator Chris Coons got on stage with Pink Martini for a replay. Senator Coons can really belt it out. And Murkowski, as she puts it, she has a lot of enthusiasm. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has announced final action on a state plan to improve Fairbanks North Pole area wintertime air quality. It's the latest step in a long-running back-and-forth between federal, state, and local officials to reduce fine particulate pollution. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the EPA has reconsidered some proposed regulatory measures.
The EPA's final so-called partial disapproval of the state air quality plan for the Fairbanks North Pole non-attainment area does not include a state and locally contested switch to more expensive ultra-low-sulfur diesel heating oil.
Ultimately came to the conclusion that, indeed, ultra-low-sulfur diesel is just not cost-effective or, at this point, available enough.
EPA Region 10 spokesperson Bill Dunbar says the agency is also reevaluating proposed new sulfur dioxide emission controls for local coal-fired power plants. Dunbar says updated modeling has changed the understanding of SO2 emissions and the formation of PM2.5 particulates.
indicate that maybe sulfur dioxide isn't as much of a problem, isn't really creating the amount of particulate matter that the state and EPA initially thought.
We're working on additional analysis to give to EPA that shows that we wouldn't need those controls.
Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation Air Quality Program Manager Nick Czarnecki says the SO2 issue will be among those addressed in an amended plan.
We have to go back and fine-tune the plan a little bit, come out with some, you know, a little bit more stronger control measures maybe. And the state will be coming out with a, you know, proposed plan, and there'll be time for public comment on that sometime this spring or early summer.
Both Czarnecki and Dunbar highlight progress already made to address local wintertime fine particulate pollution, but it needs to drop in half again to meet a federal Clean Air Act standard. Dunbar says the EPA's latest targeted airshed grant for the Fairbanks North Star Borough will continue support for a long-running program that pays for the upgrade or replacement of the primary source of local fine particulate pollution, wood stoves.
For people to be able to convert from burning wood to liquid fuels, but also for the first time, these grant monies will be available to expand the availability of natural gas in the borough. And we think that that's going to be a major game changer.
The EPA will work with the borough's interior gas utility to extend natural gas distribution lines into additional neighborhoods in North Pole, where wintertime air quality is the worst. Czarnecki says $4 million will go toward the expansion.
The $4 million is a starting point. We've been successful over the years with EPA with getting these grants. And you know, over the past 6 years, we've gotten about $42 million from EPA in these grants. So we'll just continue to take it one chunk at a time, and it all adds up in the end and helps us get to that and get to cleaner air.
But this is a long haul.
Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Bryce Ward has followed the 10-year saga and cautions that it's far from over.
It's going to take a lot of commitment and a lot of work by the community to get us to attainment, and then once we get there, we've got to maintain. And so I think as a community, we need to be prepared for that this is not something that's going to go away. We're going to deal with this for quite some time in the future.
Failing to meet the Clean Air Act fine particulate standard is triggering a federal sanction. A local transportation construction planning document is being frozen as is, with no additions allowed until the EPA approves the air quality plan. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
When it comes to Kuskokwim River salmon, the only thing the federal government and state of Alaska seem to agree on is that there's a lot at stake in a legal battle over rural priority for subsistence. KNBA's Rhonda McBride talked with Representative Mary Peltola about the lawsuit the federal government has filed against the state of Alaska and its impact on salmon management.
Representative Mary Peltola says cooperation is always in the best interest of salmon, and a lawsuit the federal government has filed against the state shows the failure of both agencies to find common ground.
And not worry so much about whose jurisdiction it is and who has the final say. So I think all fisheries management should be collaborative between managers and stakeholders.
But 10 years ago, after a series of failed salmon runs, the federal government took over management of about 200 miles of the lower Kuskokwim, the part that runs through federal land. Another 500 miles remains under state control. Federal managers claim jurisdiction under the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA, which gives it authority to manage subsistence for a rural priority in times of shortage. But when federal managers clashed with the state over regulations 3 summers ago, it filed a lawsuit against the state. The state, though, claims that federal management has interfered with its responsibility to make sure enough salmon reached their spawning grounds. But Peltola doesn't believe that's entirely true.
One of the flaws that I see in the state's argument is that the state of Alaska Department of Fish and Game statewide, they meet their Chinook escapement goals between 50 and 60% of the time, which is an F.
Peltola says that once federal managers and tribes began to co-manage the lower river in 2015, escapement goals were met, which allowed enough salmon to reach their spawning grounds. She says that the state has repeatedly tried to lower that target, which both the tribes and federal managers oppose.
We understand the importance of eggs in the gravel, and people understand that we don't have abundance. We used to see 6 returning fish for every fish that spawned. Now we see less than 1 returning fish for every fish that spawns.
Peltola does have a dog in this fight. Before she ran for Congress, she was head of the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. She believes co-management combined the best of traditional knowledge and Western science. And in the best of all possible worlds, the state would be an important partner given its expertise and the vast body of research on the fishery it's amassed over the decades. But Peltola doesn't believe the current state administration wants to collaborate.
So I think it's really just political.
But State Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang says the Intertribal Fish Commission hasn't always been easy to work with, and both groups interpret data differently. But most important of all, he says the state has a responsibility to defend itself against federal overreach.
The NOAA is pretty clear. The federal government has a right when the state opens up a fishery to further restrict that fishery. That's not what's happening in the lower Kuskokwim River. They are opening the fisheries. They are closing other uses. They are completely supplanting state management with federal management.
Vincent Lang says he doesn't think ANILCA ever envisioned a complete replacement of federal management on the river. The commissioner says the lawsuit forced the state to defend its authority under the Statehood Act and the state constitution.
Once we got sued, we had no choice but to defend our authorities and responsibilities.
The commissioner says whatever happens in court, the state will continue to do its part in providing federal managers the necessary research and data it will need to do its job. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Holden Feldbauer, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM. Find us online at apradio.org. And please stay tuned for your local marine weather forecast.